get into the Word. Get your Bibles out. And you didn't by any chance crank that heat up, did you? Yeah, okay. Oh, good. All right. It's fine up here. Come on, let's go. Let's get into the Word. John chapter 4. This is number 6 in this healing series that we've been doing on Wednesday nights. And I tell you, the Lord really spoke to my heart regarding this message yesterday already. And so I went ahead and jotted a few things down after he had instructed me in this. John chapter 4 will be our foundation tonight. But one of the things that we talked about on Sunday was that in the church at Laodicea, the people were lukewarm, and how important it is to not be in that place of being a lukewarm believer. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about in regards to healing is how some people have thought and think to this day that they know all there is to know about healing. And I have faith for healing. I have great faith. And the Lord said, that's just as wrong to take that approach as it is what I brought out in my word regarding the Laodiceans in verse 17, how they didn't know that they were in bad shape. Revelation 3, verse 17, they didn't know that they were poor, wretched, naked, and blind. You remember that? And really, I think that when people get the idea that they can't learn anything else about a certain topic in the Word, or they've got that, or I've got that, I know that, that indifference sets in, and now they're not attracted to the Word anymore like they used to be. See, that's one of the things that we talked about on Sunday about, man, do you remember when we were first born again? And some of you have thought on this. You said, you know, I used to be so excited about the Word, and now you can take it or leave it? I mean, that's some serious, serious stuff. That is some serious indifference. And that won't work regarding anything in the Word. And so I want to, again, put that out there to you tonight, how ultra, ultra important it is for you to not take on the mindset of, I've heard that already. You know, do we really need to go over those basics again? I mean, I've got this down. I know that topic inside and out from the Word. I don't care how much of it you know, you don't know enough. It doesn't matter to me. I've been in this thing preaching the Word for a lot of years. I went into the ministry in 1984, late 83, 84 into 84. And I tell you, that's a long time. It's a long time ago. It's what? Is that 38 years now? 38 years from 83 to the fall of 21 would be 38 years in ministry. I've preached thousands of messages. I've laid hands on a lot of people. I've seen God do some really neat things. Man, I haven't even scratched the surface. And for the person sitting out there that has read a few scriptures and memorized some things here to think that they don't need any more, they fall into that category of Revelation 3, verse 17. You don't even know that you're naked. So please, do not take that approach. The approach needs to be the riches of Christ are unsearchable, and we have to keep digging and keep plunging the depths and go after the things of the Lord. There are more revelations in this Word than what we have. Amen. And sometimes it'll be such an innocent way, you'll be reading a scripture and something will pop out to you and you go, man, I never saw that before. I've read that thing 200 times and I've never seen that. Well, where'd that come from? The Holy Spirit. And he can do that again and again and again and again. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. You need to keep hearing the Word. You need to keep hearing it. Praise God. So that, you know, idea that we don't really need to hear it again because we've heard it. And I've told you about people in the past that have said, I've heard all that faith stuff. I don't need to hear it anymore. They were wrong then, and it's wrong today. You know, we need to continue to hear what the Word has to say. But all of that, all of those types of excuses point to an individual who's not as turned on as he or she used to be. And again, it points at that Revelation 3, verse 17. And if you all have, make a note of that, but that is in that portion of Scripture regarding the church at Laodicea. Let me just read it to you. I just quoted it, but I'll go ahead and read it so that you have it. Verse 17, that's right after he said, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth or spit you or vomit you out of my mouth. Verse 17, because you say I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Woo, that's serious stuff. That's like the person saying, I don't need to go to church. That's like the person saying, I don't need to read the Word of God. That's like the person that says, I already know that. I don't need to hear it again. After all, he's just going to talk about that tonight. Why would I need to bother to go out? See, that's a seriously dangerous position to put yourself in. Now, I say that as humbly as I can because I know when the Lord deals with me about something, he's going to deal with you about the same things. If we're tuned in, we're going to hear. This is not the time to grow into that place of indifference, take it or leave it on the, you know, I can take it or leave it regarding the Word of God. You should be so hungry and so thirsty for the things of God that you can't wait to get into the Word. You can't wait to get into church. You know, it's coming up on a year that we've been doing this thing with people not being able to come to church. That's got to stop at some point. It just flat has to stop. The devil's not going to win this deal to keep people from coming into church. So when's it going to be? That's my question. When is that going to be? And that it varies from person to person, but I'll be doggone, we are not going to let the devil win this thing. Thank you, Lord. Can I hear an amen out there? Well, I'm hearing it in here. I got five in here. So two, four, five. Yeah, six of us in here. I mean out there. Praise God. Let me hear. Let me listen. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Thank you, Sharon. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, come on, let's go over to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, and with that, you know, there are folks out there that say, well, I have strong faith. I have strong faith. How dare you? You can't question whether I have faith or not. People get offended about this kind of thing. They get offended about, you know, if somebody seems to be questioning whether I have faith or not. No, I'm not. All I'm saying is stay turned on. And don't listen to the enemy that will try to push you away from the importance of the Word of God in your life. Amen. Amen. So in John chapter 4, this we'll begin in verse number 43 tonight. And this is an account of a healing that happened to a wealthy nobleman, his son. And it's only recorded in one place in the Scriptures. It's in the Gospel of John, okay? And so we're going to read this in just a moment here and look at it a little bit. Verse 43, let's begin there. It says, now after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. You know, I mean, for Jesus to have no honor in his own country, that points to the sin of familiarity. And this is also a dangerous one. It's dangerous because people start getting familiar with verses of Scripture that they've heard, and they start pushing them off like, I already have all the revelation. I've squeezed every bit out of that verse I can get. And it's not true. You have not. There is always going to be more. You will never come to the end of revelation from a verse of Scripture. It's that simple. Well, see, now if you start approaching it in your brain because you've done every word study on every particular word in the Greek or Hebrew, whatever it may be, then you're liable to think that you can gain no more revelation from that. I beg to differ with you. There are times I will sit down, I have done that on verses, sit down, have all of these words before me and have, you know, some understanding, but it's all right here on paper, frankly. And as I begin to meditate on it, the Lord will take one little portion of that and begin to expound on it and open it up into other areas of the Word that I hadn't seen actually correlated. Ones that weren't even listed in the center column reference of my Bible. Sure. Do you know the Holy Spirit can do that? He can actually, in your thought, in your mind's eye, when you begin to meditate on a verse, he's done it with me before. I can see myself standing there looking at Jesus laying hands on somebody, or Jesus doing this or doing that, and I actually, it seems like I step into the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying like I'm physically actually doing that. That's not what I'm saying. But when I meditate on the Word, it's good to picture yourself there watching. Now, if you're standing there in a crowd and you're watching and this situation happens, what else is going on peripherally? What else is going on there? You know, and you begin to meditate on that just based on human nature and what people do when there are crowds and what people do when somebody's speaking and somebody doesn't like what somebody's saying. What, there might be a heckler over here. There might be this going on over here, this happening over here. People are conducting business over here and ignoring all of it. You can see into things regarding the scriptures when you meditate that way and chew on the word, chew on those definitions, chew on them a bit, and watch how the Lord can extract even more revelation from it than you thought. Praise God. So here it is, verse 45, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. That was back in John 2. That was the first miracle that he did, remember? And there was a certain nobleman, or it says ruler. He was a wealthy man, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son lives. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. I'm going to stop right there and just back up a little bit. This man was a wealthy man. And, you know, he probably, most likely, and here's some of this meditation thing that I'm talking about, when you begin to look at a situation, you can begin to see some things. This man was undoubtedly, because he was wealthy, because he was a ruler of some sort, he was used to people doing what he asked them to do. He was used to people coming to him, not he having to go to people. And so as I looked at this and as I began to think on this, you know, the man was obviously upset about his child, who was in serious, bad shape, evidently, for him to come to Jesus and travel the distance that he did and show up and then ask Jesus to do this, and all Jesus has for responses, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And that's really not the response that he was looking for, was it? I mean, you know, you go somewhere and you're expecting a good response and you get nothing. Have you ever done that? You've gone to see somebody and it was showed to be a very promising contact for you and in some fashion regarding your job or future business. Some of you that own businesses, here's a contact and you have a lead and you go to it and you get there and the person pretty much just says hello and talks a little bit and goes away and you come out of there going, well, that was a waste of time. You know, I mean, so we've all had disappointments before. We've all expected some things to happen and had it become a disappointment to us. That man was undoubtedly feeling this right here. You know, Jesus' response, Jesus didn't say, I'm going to come right there with you right now and go heal your son. He had been hearing about Jesus, what Jesus had done, heard about the obviously this miracle that had occurred back there at Galilee, Cana of Galilee. Anyway, here he is, and Jesus gives him this response. My thoughts run to the, you know, you remember when Naaman had leprosy, right? And he goes to see Elisha. And what did Elisha do? He wouldn't even come out and see him. Now here's Naaman. Naaman is a guy of some position, of some power, right? And so here he is, and this prophet won't even come out and pray this eloquent prayer over me, wave his hand and do and get me healed. What does he do? He sends his servant out and tells me to go dip in the pharpar. What was it? No, it wasn't the pharpar. He had him dip in the Jordan. Yeah. Why couldn't you let me dip in one of these other nice rivers? Maybe that was the pharpar. Instead, you're wanting me to go and dip in the Jordan 7 times? Well, he gets his feathers ruffled. He gets upset because it's like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? And this nobleman may have felt the same way. Does he not know who I am? Looking around and saying, does he not know who I am? The authority that I carry? And Naaman was undoubtedly thinking that same thing. Wait a minute. And he got ticked off, and he gets back in his chariot with his guy and takes off in a huff. And the servant of his assistant, begins talking to him. He's like, you know, we expected to have to come in here, and we brought some things with us. We were expecting to have to give to him and all this to get you healed. And he didn't ask you that hard of a thing to do. All he asked for you to do was to go and dip in this river 7 times. What's the big deal? It's not that hard of a thing to do. Long story short, he goes ahead and swallows his pride and the anger and the offense that he was walking in and goes back and dips in the river, and on the 7th time comes up and he's clean of the leprosy. Now, I would suspect that the man was very, and this is Naaman now, I would suspect that he was very, very happy that he did pursue and do what was given to him in instruction by the prophet of God and not hold on to that animosity, that bitterness. You know, who's that preacher think he is? Now, I've had people get mad at me before because of things I have preached. And it's like, who does he think he is? I know as much word as he does. Well, boy, it's not a contest. It's not a contest. I've had people come up to me before and try to challenge me with something from the scriptures, and the Lord just revealed it to me right there on the spot. You know, it's like, have I memorized the Bible? Do I know every single verse in the Bible? I've read it through how many different times? But no, I have not done that. But that's not the point. Somebody said, well, I'm more qualified to be the pastor than you are. Yeah, but you're not called to be the pastor here. That's the difference. Bobby Endian was saying one time, he said, you know, a guy came up to him after the service and he said, I've got more degrees than you ever have. He said, I could be the pastor of this church and do a better job. And Bob just looked at him. He said, well, maybe so, but guess what? You're not the one God called to be the pastor. So, see ya. You know, I mean, there are some audacity out there. People get mad at preachers, and they're also, you know, comparing themselves to that person or that man, that woman, whoever it may be. And I'm as good as that. No one ever said you weren't. No one ever said. God doesn't go around going, you know, that one is number one in my book. He's about number 4,082. God's not doing that. He doesn't look at it. He doesn't, He's not a respecter of persons. What is he? He is a God that honors faith. Now, this man came in John chapter 4, and it's obvious that he had some faith, didn't he? I mean, he had some faith. But what was his faith in? Perhaps his faith was in the fact of the things that he had heard that Jesus had done, and that he understood and believed that God is great. God is good. God's a good God. God's a great God. I've heard of the wonderful, miraculous thing that just happened with you over here. Come and heal my son. And Jesus' response was, except you see signs and wonders, you're not going to believe, huh? So then the nobleman becomes a little more desperate. And the next verse, verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. So he had some faith, but the bottom line is he was walking by sight. And I don't care how sincere you are before the Lord, he will not conform to your unbelief. He will stick to what his word says. And you must believe before you will see. You remember that song, Pastor John, years ago that Elvis sang? It was called Seeing is Believing. It's an old gospel song. Had a nice little bass line to it, you know, the sound. It was a catchy song and all, but totally unscriptural. Seeing is believing. Now, wait a minute. The scripture says exactly the opposite. You have to believe before you will see. That's the way faith works. A person who doesn't have faith won't believe until they see it. Well, that's what he was pointing out here with this man. And just because somebody has faith, they may have faith in one area and no faith in another area. Just because you have faith to believe somebody to be saved does not mean that you automatically have the faith to receive or to lay hands on somebody to receive healing. To you yourself receive it, or for you to believe God for others to receive it. You have to develop in the particulars. You have to develop and see what the Word has to say about healing. What does the Word have to say about it? What does the Word say? The Word surely doesn't say seeing is believing. No, it certainly doesn't. Now, the title of the message tonight, I didn't tell you, was Not Your Way. That's the title of it tonight, Not Your Way. And I guess, you know, in relation to John chapter 4, what we're looking at, it wasn't going to be the nobleman's way. It ended up not being Naaman's way, right? It ended up being God's way. Now, I guarantee you, Elisha, when Naaman pulled up, Elisha had heard of this guy. I mean, he probably wanted to go out there and shake hands with him. I mean, the guy was a bit of a, you know, he was a powerful man. If some celebrity showed up at your house and comes knocking on the door, and you know about, and the Lord says, don't go out there, just tell him to go dip in Boomer Creek or Boomer Lake, whatever it is. Boomer Creek? Brush Creek, that's out here. Go and tell him to dip in Boomer Lake 7 times. And it's like a really famous person, you know, in the world. There was probably a temptation for Elisha to go, well, let me just go, I'd just like to shake the man's hand. But the Lord said, no, stay here, send your servant out. Obedience is obedience. We need to be obedient to whatever the Lord instructs us to do, whether it goes against the flesh or not. So here, back in John chapter 4, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I remember in the Old Testament, in Psalm 27, just hold your place here in John 4. We're going to come right back to it. Psalm 27, there's a verse of Scripture. And I love the Center Column Reference Bible, because there are wonderful things that will show up in the center column as it will tie verses of Scripture together. Verse 13 of Psalm 27 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Do you see that? Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I had fainted unless I had believed. You know, I mean, seeing is not believing. Believing produces seeing. That's what it's pointing at. Believing produces seeing. So, this man with the son that was next door to death, I mean, he was right there. He was at death's door. That's what I meant to say. Next door to death? Never put it that way before. Next door to death. No, don't go there. This boy was close to death, and the nobleman was desperate. And no matter how desperate he was trying to get Jesus to conform to the way that he wanted it to happen. Come with me. And Jesus wouldn't do that. So he exposed the fact that this man was being moved by sight and not by faith. We are, the Bible says, to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Now, somebody will always come along and say, well, you know, I mean, if I could just see a miracle, I would believe. No, the Bible does not say that. There are many times that people have seen miracles and all they've done is gone, what was that? How did that happen? I mean, I remember when my dad, when we first got saved, I remember the prayer group at the house in our rec room downstairs. I've told this story before. My dad had a bad headache, and we were going to lay hands on him. I think it may have been one of the first times I've ever laid hands on somebody. With the others there in the prayer group, I was real young in the Lord. But we just reached out, laid hands on him, and prayed for his healing, to be well. And, you know, it was such an innocent, simple prayer. And my dad, we're done, we say, amen, and do you agree? Yeah, amen, amen. And then he opens his eyes, and he's kind of moving his mouth a little bit and looking around. He goes, the pain is completely gone. And that would have been good if he had just stopped right there. Then he goes, now why? And we're all like, Dad, we just prayed, you know. I mean, could that be why? You received your healing. Amen. Oh, that was funny. But in Acts chapter 3, around about verse 10, you remember when the man at the gate, Beautiful, was healed and the people saw it, and the scripture said that they were filled with wonder and amazement at what they had seen. It didn't say anything about it building faith in them. All it did was cause them to be full of wonder. I wonder what happened. I wonder what that is. That's amazing. Didn't build faith. To the person who walks by sight, they may think that if they can see something, they'll be able to believe it. Well, let me tell you something. Do y'all know that you have a brain tonight? Do you believe you have a brain? Yeah, I mean, you think, you move, you write, you walk, you talk, you do the things. But most people haven't seen their brain out on the table in front of them. I suppose there may have been a person or two that saw some of their brain, I don't know, or at least a picture of it. But the fact is, you don't see your brain, but you do have one. If I could just see it, I believe. Well, do you believe that we are on a firm foundation in here tonight? Those of you that are in here, you believe, right? Now, everybody in here except our offspring have actually, well, actually Austin did see it. He just doesn't remember it. He was so little. But this is a big concrete slab, and it is built on a firm, firm foundation. But you can't see it. You see carpeting. You see, you know, all the accoutrements in here. You don't see that slab. There are a lot of things you don't see. But I don't see the heater in our car, but it sure works fine. Amen? I don't see a lot of things, but I can tell they're at work. Just because a person can see something does not mean, and if they can't see it, rather, that it doesn't exist or it's not working. This man wanted to see Jesus wasn't going down that road, all right? So the nobleman's faith was, in a general sense, in the greatness of God. His faith was not specific nor particular in regard to healing. I would say this. Instead of taking the approach that I know everything I need to know about healing, my approach would be this. Lord, show me what I need to know. Show me what I don't know about this. Show me what key there is. Because I don't care what you're going through tonight, the Lord's the answer. And the Lord will get you out of that jam you're in. The Lord will heal the thing in your body that's causing you all the trouble. The Lord will deliver you out of this snare of the fowler, of this horrible trap the enemy's laid for you in your physical body. You know, it may be a financial thing. I mean, but we're talking along the lines of healing tonight. The Lord wants to do what his word has promised that he would do. But there are people that say they have strong faith. Oh, strong faith. And you talk to them for a little while. They might have strong faith to believe for that they're saved, and that's wonderful. But that's where it stops. And then you talk to them a little while, and you find out they're not even sure that it's God's will to heal. And I've been down that road with people before. Oh, that person has faith, and they'll receive. You know, how come they haven't received yet, Pastor? They have great faith. You talk to the person, and they're riddled with unbelief. See, your confession will always locate you of what's on the inside. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks or confesses. So what's in a person in abundance will come out of their mouth. Amen? Okay, so let's quickly, we're just going to close. I'll pick this up again next week. But John chapter 20, jump over there. There's one more example of somebody who was being moved by what they could see. In verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, he makes a decision. I will not believe. Didn't say he couldn't believe, said I will not believe. And so he was somebody who was definitely being motivated and moved by what was before him. And that's a bad position to be in. You know, because you don't see Jesus in your heart tonight. Do you see Jesus in my heart? You know, you may be able to know that there's a difference in the way I conduct myself if you knew me before. But you don't physically see Jesus on the throne of my heart tonight. I don't see him on the throne of anybody's heart tonight, in a physical sense. Now, the minute you begin to talk, I can pick up on whether a person's a believer or not pretty quick. Not that I go around doing that all the time, but it's pretty obvious when somebody's not a believer. They can talk very polite, but you can pick up on the sense that they're not serving the Lord. It doesn't have to be that they cuss and you know, say all sorts of ungodly stuff. They can be very upright, but be very far from the Lord. Then I've seen believers. As you know, they're born again. You talk to them a little bit, and now and again a little expletive flies out of them, you know? And they're using words that they shouldn't use. It's not sending them to hell, but it's sure messing with their testimony. People aren't going to listen to that. They're going to go, that guy, he can't even get control of his tongue, and he's going to tell me about Jesus? He still talks like I do, you know, a sinner. You know, we can't always judge the book by its cover. Again, don't go by what you see. Now, so in this case here, verse 26, after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Now, I speak peace over you tonight. You're believing God for something in your life. That peace is still available to you this night. You, if you've received Jesus into your heart, are serving and living for the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He is the source of your peace tonight. Jesus said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither your finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now here's Jesus' response to that. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Now blessed, happy are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So it's a much better position to be in to believe without seeing. In fact, we know that the scriptures are very plain that if you try to see something before you believe it, it'll never come to pass. So you have to believe to see. Believing produces seeing. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So take that. We're going to come back to this next week. We'll look at it again, the nobleman's son, and dig a little bit more into it. But let your faith grab a hold of the fact tonight that you're not going to get God to conform to your way, which is what this man tried to do. Which Naaman tried to do. The Lord's going to do things the way they need to be done. And so we need to find out where we are missing it. If healing doesn't manifest, it's not God not manifesting it. It's not God saying, I'm choosing this night not to heal you. That's never it. His will is healing. I mean, we find so many places in the scriptures where, you know, it's, if you are willing, Lord, you heal me. And Jesus says, I am willing. Or I will. I mean, why is that recorded in the Word? So that we know. There are people today that preach that junk and say, you know, it's not always God's will to heal. Sometimes God just says no. And that's not scriptural. No, healing is the children's bread. Healing is for you. Healing is part of the covenant rights that you and I have as believers. So, I mean, that's why it's in the Word. Is it God's will to heal? Yes. Are there times he can't heal? Yes. Why can he not heal? The scripture said that he marveled or was amazed at the unbelief of the people. Now, if this man in John 4, the nobleman, hadn't changed, and we're right there at the cusp of where this change happened, you know the end result. The boy got healed, right? I mean, we saw that. The change was he went from having to see it to it changed. Jesus said, go on, your boy's healed. Your son lives. And what did he do? He didn't argue with him. He believed, didn't he? He believed. Jesus kind of set him up to expose that unbelief that he was walking in. He wanted to see, and he needed to see Jesus coming with him, right? And Jesus didn't go with him. And when he said, Jesus said, your son lives, the man received it. Healing must be received. It's always there. God's always on. The switch is always on. You just must learn how to receive from him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. The times I've seen the greatest miracles are the times when people were almost unaware of the fact that, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, we'll believe. All it takes is just a sliver of faith, a tiny, tiny amount of faith to receive from God. God is not trying to keep healing from his people. God is not trying to teach you something through a sickness. That's not his method, not his means. His way is to teach you by the Holy Spirit through the word. Amen. So we need to stay on that and be ever reminded of that fact that God wants his people whole and healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, why don't you stand to your feet and we'll close tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your head with me, those of you out there. Bow your heads, please, out there on the internet. And Father, we praise you and bless you tonight and thank you that the anointing is real. You and your anointing are one. The anointing is simply your presence. And Father, so I thank you for the anointing to heal tonight. I thank you for the anointing to set free. And that the I have to see before I'll believe goes out the window. And we say, no, 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 we don't have to see before we're going to believe. We're going to believe you first. We're going to trust that you are God, not that you have some purpose in this sickness. That's not your purpose. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. You have come to give us life. We know you're a good God. Show us that area that we need to be built up and where our faith must increase. But Father, we just decide we're going to trust you. We're going to believe you. We're going to continue to serve you. And I pray tonight for a hunger and a thirst to increase in the people of God, for the word, for righteousness, for a walk of holiness before the Lord. An increase in their life, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for the results that follow and flow. In Jesus' name, we pray. If you all agree, say amen.